It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed, we have NFL films like music, NFL films like voices. On our guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, he is indeed Hub Arkish. Hi, Hub.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than the Bears are. So let's review. Let's start with this. Cody Bellinger opted in. He's coming back for $27.5 million. You, Cub fan, tell me what you think of that.
Well, I think it's good. I think that he was still one of the three best players on their team. That is an absurd amount of money to most of us, but in Major League Baseball, for a high-end, for a high-end player, that's nothing outrageous. And I'm kind of glad he did because it leaves one less thing to fix. And when you look at how he bounced back in 23 and the fact that he is a former MVP, I think it's a good move. And it's his move. It's not the Cubs' move, but I think it's the right move. Plus, now you have a pretty big trade option. Depending if you want to get really aggressive and trade star for stars, but I just think it gives the Cubs, a lot more options, and I think it's the right move for him. I don't think after the year he had, he was going to get more money by opting out. And I think it shows a sign that he feels good about the team. So with not a lot of positive in the last month or so with the Cubs, I think that's a pretty positive move.
So if you were to make their first free agent move, you're not limited to just one, but what would you expect, pitching or hitting? What would they do? What would their first free agent move be if you had your choice?
They need 40 home runs. They need a guy who is a danger every time he steps to the plate in the middle of that lineup. And you would think that you might have those guys, in Bellinger or Happ or certainly Swanson, but you didn't last year. And they need more power. They need more big plays on the offensive side of the ball. You always need more pitching, but I think they're in pretty good shape with pitching right now. So I would focus on finding that big bat, and I would want to add, a real closer. I think that would be huge. And then I want to see, the other thing, Steve, we keep hearing about the best farm system in baseball. I don't know if it's the best, but it's a top two, top three. A couple of these kids are going to develop eventually. We saw a couple last year. So I don't think they have to do that much. I think they need one or two big moves with veterans, and then they need to continue to develop some of these kids. And I think that, this year could be, or this coming year could be a lot better than last year.
Okay. Sadly, we must move on to the Bears. Let's start at the end and work our way backwards. The crushing feeling of losing a game that way, and then you saw the tape of Tyreek Stevenson that preceded it. Where are you on that? How did you feel about that, losing the game that way, and how do you feel about Tyreek Stevenson and whether he should even be able to play this week?
Steve, where I'm at is just sick to death of the whole thing, and I don't even want to hear about it anymore.
No, we have to. This is talk radio.
I know. I'm here to do my job, Steve. I understand that. And I say that only to make my next point, which I think is that so much of it is so much ado about nothing. Going into that game, the lights couldn't have been brighter. They were 4-2. Everybody was thrilled. Are they going to the playoffs? Are they going to the Super Bowl? They had a bad game. They had one young player make a terrible mistake. They made a bad call that turned out to be meaningless because, you know, they got the ball back in three downs and went out and got the winning score. Yeah, I'm not knocking all this. I'm not defending all this. I'm not agreeing with any of it. But I'm just saying it's one game. You know, they're still 4-3 in better shape in the top half of the. If they win this week, and this is a tough game, by the way, tomorrow. But if they win this one, you're right back at it. Everybody keeps worrying about those division games. They are pretty close to the other three teams in the division. I'm not sure that they're the worst team in the division. So, you know, everybody's just assuming, oh, well, they're going to go 0-6 there. No, they're not. You know, and so I understand it. You know, it was a terrible loss. We've never seen anything quite like it. I think a couple things have to be fixed as a result. But I also think that, you know, everybody who was sky high 6 days ago and is writing off the season now, you know, knock it off. You know, stop it. And you know, I was not a big Shane Waldron fan when they hired him, but I wasn't negative. I didn't know more about him. And then look at the job he did for the 3 weeks leading up to that. He made a terrible decision, and I don't like the fact that he said he would do it again the other day, you know. But it wasn't the first time I've ever seen anything like that. It's a trick play. The reason you call those is you're expecting to surprise the team, and you wanted that score. It was a mistake, you know, but move on. It doesn't make him the worst offensive coordinator ever, but he, I think, is in much more jeopardy than Flus right now because I don't even agree that he should have called a timeout. Time was already out. They could have done whatever they needed to do after they scored that touchdown to get ready for that play. So I think that is the thing that I think is much ado about nothing. But, you know, as far as where the offense goes next, you know, the first 4 weeks we were miserable. The last 3 weeks we were thrilled. Last week we've never been more miserable. So let's see what happens this week against a bad defense in Arizona.
Well, Washington wasn't a great defense either. And I guess what people are upset about, And I'm one of them, understandably so. When you talk about coaching decisions, this is made in the heat of the moment. They get paid to make good decisions. They get paid to make right decisions. These were comically ridiculous. It was just the responses, the lack of what I think is a lack of accountability that you would. Like you said, Shane Waldron said he'd do it again. He's not discounting not doing it again. He has all the weapons the Bears brag about, they point out from Caleb to DJ Moore to Keenan Allen to Cole Kmet to Roma Dunze to DeAndre Swift, and they hand the ball to a guy who's never been handed the ball in college or the NFL and technically still hasn't been handed the ball. And that's coaching. That's the way they look. And Eberflus decides not to cover the out because he's worried about a 70-yard Hail Mary. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And the other coach said, if we don't get those 13 yards, then we got nothing. We're out of gas. And then Eberflus says everything is fine before that final play when Tyreek Stevenson is gyrating and yapping and doing whatever he's doing. So the game's in front of him, and he's not coaching it very well. So whatever seems like much ado about nothing to you, these are coaching decisions by people in a position to do this again.
Yeah, but Steve, you're focused on one play where I don't know if Flus even saw where Stevenson was at that moment. I don't, you know, some fan caught a picture and the next thing it went viral because that's what happens these days. And again, I'm not defending any of it. I've already said several times, I think that, you know, the call giving the ball to the offensive lineman is a terrible idea, mm-hmm. You know, but that's one bad call. You know, as far as, you know, the way they covered that, you know, I would have definitely not given them that easy 15-yard throw. I would have tried to make that harder. But again, did Flus make the wrong call? Did some other player make a mistake? We don't know what the plays called are. We don't know what these players are supposed to be doing. And so I'm not defending it, but I'm not going to fire a coach over it either until I get more information. And on that particular play, I would have covered that differently too, but that is a Hail Mary. You know, there's a reason they call it that. It only happens through the grace of God. And that's how that's how it happened, you know. And so to try and find somebody to blame or fire for it, I just think it's too much. And again, I understand the whole thing. I'm not, you know, criticizing anybody who's upset. I understand why you're upset, but I want to see what happens this Sunday. It's a 17-week season, and I'm not going to judge the coaches, the players, or anybody else all on basically we're talking about three decisions, you know. And so, you know, they made some mistakes, and now they have plenty of time and a chance to make up for it, and we'll see what they do.
They're playing an Arizona team in Arizona, and among the weirdness in the Matt Eberflus era is they're 3-17 on the road. The Bears haven't won a road game on a Sunday since Matt Nagy was the coach. Just a weird stat. It's a true thing. It's a true fact. And they're talking about as you were saying, it's a tougher game than people might want to think about, that Kyler Murray is at the 11th best quarterback rating, whatever you think of that, that still stacks up quarterbacks. And he's been good the last couple weeks in regaining some of the, I don't know, confidence, swagger, whatever's going on. But that defense is still really bad. So what are your concerns for the Bears, and where do you think they win this game?
Well, my biggest concern is that we really just don't know how good they are yet. I think they've definitely upgraded with a lot of key talent, both young and veteran, during the offseason. I'm not any less excited or rating this team any different than I did when the season started. But with what we've seen, you know, these questions that have been raised, these are the things that you have to figure out. When I look at the game tomorrow, Murray is just playing well. He's playing really well, and the Cardinals are playing exactly as well as the Bears were, better than the Bears, because they won last week. And that's the part that concerns me about this, is I think they're a better team than people realize. Everybody kind of is chalking this up as to one of the ones they should win, the Bears should win. These are two pretty equal teams, and how they, you know, perform in this coming off of last week is going to tell us a lot more about this team, I think, than what happened last week. Now, I know what you're asking me, and I know I'm not answering, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think Kyler Murray can be handled. I don't like 5'10 quarterbacks. I have a problem with that. But the way, and I think because of the problems it causes for them, but the way he's playing the last couple of weeks, I do think you have to worry about him. Now, you know, the Bears' defense has been one of the best in the league. They should be able to be prepared for him and handle him, and we'll see if they get them ready. But, you know, going back to this coaching thing one more time, Steve, if you go back to 2022, that was exactly what everybody expected to happen. They emptied it out. They wanted to have one of the top picks. They knew they were going to lose. Then you come back to 23. That wasn't supposed to start 0-4. But if you look at the whole second half of the 23 season and the entire season so far this year, Matt Eberflus is a winning coach. That's their record. You know, if you look at what he's done in this rebuild as they've gone through it. And that's why I just won't go after the guy the way everybody else does. And again, I'm not happy with some of what he does. There's some mistakes. I might want to make a change at the end of the season. But I think, you know, going nuts all week long, you know, over the game and people wanting him fired. If you fired him today, who are you going to hire? You know, what are you going to do if you fire him today? How are you going to make the team better? Because Ryan Poles' job is all about making this team better. And I think people have to stop worrying about the coaches and start focusing on what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, and enjoy the wins and don't suffer quite as much for the losses. And I don't say we have to wait another 10 weeks. I think in two or three more weeks, we see how they react to this. And if they're playing like they were the way before, I'll feel better about things. If they lose tomorrow, if they don't show up again tomorrow, which they didn't last week, then I get a lot more upset. And then I have to make some decisions with the trade deadline on Tuesday.
Well, that's another reason I would look at the coaches and say, I don't need them. I don't need this guy. I don't think he's performing, because of the way they came out of the bye. They came out sloppy and slow. Their first quarters have been awful. They've got 10 points in 7 first quarters. That's inexcusable. You can't do that. You can't suck like that. And the penalties, and 8 penalties, 60 yards out of a bye, and with this false start, it was pre-snap stuff. And that's, how is that not coaching and detail work?
Well, it is. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that we're focused on the two or three things we can find that cause the problems, and we're not looking at the bigger picture. And that's why I said what I just said a few minutes ago. If you go back what is now one full season, the second half of last season and this season so far, he's a winning coach, you know, with that same team that was, 3-14. So it's not like he suddenly has the best talent in the league. And so I'm just trying to get through another season, because it isn't going to get better by firing him today, and then form a final evaluation and then decide what to do next, you know. But I just don't think that he has earned firing yet with the job he's doing with this rebuild. I don't think he's earned a new contract for sure. And I'm not sure if he should be the head coach after this year. But I certainly think he's earned the right to get through the season and to show us the rest of what he can do.
You had mentioned Ryan Poles earlier. So Ryan Poles' neglect, or however you want to look at it, I'd like to know how you view Ryan Poles' job on the offensive line. And that seems to me that will determine the winner of tomorrow's game.
Steve, they haven't started the same offensive line once yet this year. You know, and injuries is the same for everybody. And I'm not blaming injuries for the offensive line's problems and the Bears' problems, but I think evaluating the job that Poles did building the line is hard when you can't use the same players every week. Now, he made a big mistake on Nate Davis. I think we can all sign on to that. You know, that's two now because you've got the wide receiver mistake too. But in the 3 years on the job, what he's fixed so far and what he's broken so far, I think everybody still feels, you know, more good than bad about Poles. But as far as the offensive line itself, they were playing better the last 2 weeks before last week, and then they had a few more injuries, and they didn't play well. They weren't the problem on Sunday. Guy, you know, Steve, nobody's talking about it. The biggest problem in the first half on last week was Caleb Williams. He played badly, and that wasn't on the coaches, and that wasn't on the offensive line. That was on Caleb Williams. He missed four or five throws really badly. Now, I'm still a high Caleb Williams fan. He's going to have a bad half or a bad game. Look at how he came back in the fourth quarter. But the biggest story of what went wrong with that game and the offense on Sunday was how badly Williams played early. And I don't know that you can just put that all on a coach.
I think the Caleb Williams story is he was inaccurate early and whatever you want to say. Well, he was not nervous or really excited about going home and yada, yada, yada. Whatever you want to point out, he wasn't good, as you said. And yet, he really led two touchdown drives.
Mm-hmm.
And but for a boneheaded call by the offensive coordinator, with among all those weapons he had, and he gives it to a guy who never carried the ball. But Caleb Williams led them down two drives. And I guess my question would be, he's rallied in the fourth quarter almost on a regular basis. He sort of had to because he hasn't been worth anything in the first quarter. So it doesn't seem to carry over. How does that get solved?
Well, I think it's getting solved, and I think that's what this season is all about. You look at the way he played the first 3 weeks and the way he played the next 3 weeks, obviously something was getting solved. You know, now I don't know what happened on Sunday, but you add, as you pointed out, you know, he's going back home. Who knows how much of that? He said he hadn't been there more than twice in the last couple of years. I don't know what the reality is or why he played as badly as he did early. But at the end of the day, again, nobody wants to accept that they're in the pivotal part of this rebuild. They're now trying to make the move from a rebuilding team to a playoff contender. And they're right there now at 4-3 if they play the way they did the 3 weeks before last week. Now, let's add, because I know a lot of our listeners are thinking it, they did it against three really bad teams, and the Commanders are a better team. But look at who the Commanders have done it against. Other than the Bears in one other game, they've done it against bad teams, too. We're sorting out this league. And how are the 49ers 4-4 with that roster? I mean, you know, worse than the Bears. To me, it's always more about just evaluating, you know, what we're seeing on the field, the decisions that both players and coaches are making and how they're improving. And I think everybody can agree that until that mess last Sunday, there's no question they were improving. And I want to see if they are improving, if they can go back in that direction tomorrow, or if they're going to have a second bad game in a row. Then I think you start to worry a lot more than you should have been worried, not you, but anybody should have been worried about last week.
But I think it's as daunting as it might be for Matt Eberflus's road record, and you stated the reasons why the first half of that, a lot of them sucked. And here we are again. It's almost better that they're going on the road to face a team that has an offense that should be reckoned with, deserves respect, and play to try this, run it back, this whole thing again, and hope for a different result. It's actually probably better than playing at home.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be home this week because I just think the way that the media and the fans have reacted is nuts. I've talked to players about it in the last couple of days. You know, they're not nearly as upset as everybody else is. They're not happy about what happened, but something that Flew said that couldn't have been more true, and I heard Wani talk about this too, is that this isn't a problem for the players. This is a problem for everybody else. The players come back Monday. By Wednesday at practice, they're ready to go. They were ready to go Wednesday at practice. I was there yesterday. They're back to where they were before that game happened. Now, what are their personal feelings about each other? What is their personal trust in Tyreek Stevens? I can't answer that. You know, nobody can but them. But what I have heard, been able to find out since, is that I think that, you know, in terms of the locker room and how they react to it, I think they've handled it pretty well so far, but we're not going to know until we see how they show up on Sunday.
Or they've been told to act a certain way. So, and good for them for acting. That's part of
it. Well, they don't have any choice. They don't want to lose those you know, $25 million contracts. So they're going to do what they're told.
Yes, indeed. Hub, thanks for your time. I look forward to it. You be well. Thank you.
Take care.
Hub Arkush, senior NFL analyst for The Score. On, and we'll have top of the hour. We'll go out to Arizona, out to the desert, and we'll talk to Theo Mackey. He covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic. You can read him on AZ Central, and we'll talk to him about that Cardinals team that's on the rise. And at 125, Mark Grody, together again for the first time. Haven't talked to Mark for a while. He's busy. He's had bigger names on the other line. You know, he's had all the other shows. He's had the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer. He's got business to conduct. Let me take a break. Hub talked about his take on the locker room. And everybody kind of indicated, oh, it's a bigger problem for everybody outside than it is for us. We're, you know, this is the players are taking this. They come back. They forget it. I don't know. I think they've been told, they were slapped around by the coach who said, stop being honest. Stop telling people we make comically stupid decisions. They were told not to be honest anymore. So they're going to lie. They're going to act as if everything is fine. Be calm. Like they were Kevin Dillon in Animal House, Chip Diller in Animal House. Remain calm. All is well. So, I think this feels like a must win, but also a must prove. I think the coaches have to prove themselves worthy of players' trust. Talk about it next, after this. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, I guess we are in it for the long run. As Hub said, 10 games to go. How's this season going to play out? And if you fired him, who would be the coach? Well, I'd start with Belichick, just for the hell of it. And I'd start with Carroll because I know he doesn't want Shane Waldron, so that would be the end of Shane Waldron, too. And it'd probably be Richard Hightower. Special teams coaches are the guys who are best equipped to take over. I mean, who are you going to give the job to? If you were to fire Eberflus, that's it. We're done with this comically stupid decisions. You're not watching the game that's there. And your choice of coaches, yuck, yuck, yuck. I mean, really, let me ask you this. Tyler, let me ask you. Luke Getsy or Shane Waldron?
Death is not an option. Based on what we've seen so far, I'm going to have to say Luke Getsy.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think you're wrong either way. You would not want either of them coordinating your offense. I mean, it's just, it's clearly another mistake by Eberflus and Poles.
Right now, what you're basically asking me is, do you want to suck or do you want to suck?
Right.
So that's I'm picking to suck.
So I agree with you on that. And as we look at this game Sunday, and after what happened with the Bears, and they fall to 4-3, they're out of a playoff spot as it stands now, for whatever you think that's worth, and I enjoy keeping track of it. And Arizona's 4-4, and they've played better. And it feels like the way this happened, this feels like a must win, or a must win because Bears coaches have to prove themselves to the players. I mean, these are Bears players who had to go to the offensive coordinator to tell them to coach them harder. Hey, coach, coach us harder. You know, like a real coach. And the head coach and the offensive coordinator have been publicly questioned by players after what they did, after decisions they made. Coach is supposed to put players in the best position to succeed. Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron failed at that. Failed. In a game that could have been a victory had they not failed at that. The public result was a lot of criticism from the public, from us, from the media, but from the players. Like, you had half the captains come out. Half the captains came out and said, oh my God, here, this stupid, that stupid, this is stupid, that's stupid. I don't know why we did this. DJ Moore said, I knew that plays were up for a while, but I don't know why we called Doug Kramer's number. And Jalen Johnson said, I don't know why we didn't call a timeout before that last play. And Kevin Byard said, I don't know why we didn't cover the outs that gave them the yards they needed to even have a faint hope of converting a Hail Mary. And Dan Quinn, the guy the Bears didn't hire as head coach, said, if we don't get those 13 yards, we got nothing. We're out of gas. And Matt Eberflus is still trying to defend that decision as the right one, not really being accountable, certainly not taking the blame. We played earlier for you, Dan Campbell. There's a coach. There's a real coach. Takes the blame. Makes a mistake. Even when it's players' execution. Matt Eberflus doesn't want to do that. You know what Matt Eberflus does when he hears public criticism? Calls the players into a meeting and says, shut up about our stupid decisions. You have to shut up. Nice culture. Nice culture. That's why this seems, maybe we're on the outside, we don't know. Maybe players have a short memory. Or maybe they're just acting because they've been told to act. They've been told to say things, all right, you're going to have to lie about some stuff, but you're going to have to say it honestly, so practice your acting. You're not allowed to be honest about coaches. DJ Moore said that. DJ Moore said, yeah, I don't think I'll be honest, that honest again. This seems like a must win because they need a win after the horrible result, after the comically stupid decisions, comically stupid coaches' reactions to what they did. And would do again, apparently. They need a win to avoid falling to 500. I mean, 4-3, they're out of a playoff spot as it stands now. And they fell out of that playoff spot because Eberflus failed as a coach. Waldron failed as a coach. Stevenson failed as a player. Stevenson owned up to it. Stevenson apologized to that. I did not hear the coaches apologize to that. Tyreek Stevenson owned it. I've not heard the coaches own anything specific. And it's just the idea the Bears have never won a Sunday road game under Matt Eberflus is kind of mind-boggling. The Bears have not won a road game on a Sunday going back to Matt Nagy. Of course, they haven't won many road games, period. Ryan Poles chose to keep this coach You know, if Ryan Poles, Hub said it, Ryan Poles' job is to make this team better. He looked to upgrade. He did not look to upgrade a coach. Ryan Poles failed as an executive last offseason. I mean, you could pick apart the offensive line, the depth on the offensive line. Here we go. You could pick apart, well, they got Roma Dunze, but if we don't have the time to throw to him because the offensive line's bad, maybe we made a mistake not getting an offensive lineman. Oh, the guy we drafted who was hurt is or rehabbing from an injury is hurt again. You know offensive linemen are going to get hurt. And Ryan Poles failed to upgrade the team at coach. So the Matt Eberflus Bears are 3-17 on the road. They've never beaten a team over 500. Cardinals are 4-4. So I guess I could still that might count in somewhere in the world of Matt Eberflus. And the Bears still have to go to Green Bay and go to Detroit and go to Minnesota with that kind of road history. 3-17 on the road. Can you name the three quarterbacks they beat, Tyler? Matt Eberflus beat three quarterbacks. Do you know them?
One, that Patriots game, I think was it Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe?
Bailey Zappe, yes. We'll give the judges say give him that Bailey's, one.
Bailey Zappe. Josh Dobbs.
Yes, Josh Dobbs. Year. He's got two. Does he get to advance to the bonus round by guessing the third quarterback that Matt Eberflus beat on the road?
Okay, so I know it was last year because they won three games in 22 and two of them were at home. I am going to say, ooh, this is tough.
It's not that tough because you had it all right. I thought you were heading the right direction when you go, wait, where did they have their best game? Where did they have their biggest game?
Their best game, their biggest game. Oh, last year it was Sam Howell.
Yes!
Boom.
Tyler Farrigal from the top rope. Matt Eberflus has beaten Bailey Zappe on the road, Sam Howell on the road, and Josh Dobbs on the road. Yuck, yuck, and yuck. And so it feels like this is a game. Well, now you're facing Kyler Murray, right? Now you're facing Kyler Murray. He's 11th in the league in quarterback rating, 12th in completion percentage. He's like a real quarterback. Matt Eberflus, defensive genius. I don't know. On the road, what do you got? It also takes the offense to score. You can still limit the points, and your offense is still going to have to score, but that's your choice as an offensive coordinator, which looks like a screaming failure once again. And if you're going to win on the road, and if you're going to take down a quarterback like Kyler Murray, who can be all over the place, right? He could be a Bulls point guard. The way he throws things all over the place from all different angles, and sometimes they land in the right place, sometimes they don't. Sometimes he's hot, sometimes he's not. We'll talk to Theo McKee at the top of the hour. He covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic and the Kyler Murray Experience, and we'll see what that's like. But, you know, the hits principle comes into play this week with, again, defending Kyler Murray with Tyreek Stevenson. The only one of the guys we talked about who admitted he was wrong. He's the only one who took responsibility for his actions. Matt Eberflus didn't. Gene Waldron didn't. They'd do it again. They don't realize the folly of it. Okay. So Eberflus shows up Wednesday, and now you got a chance to execute. Matt Eberflus, you can execute like you accuse your players of not executing. You could execute what appears to be a screaming violation of the hits principle, that blessed hits principle, that precious hits principle you came here with.
I just want to say, you just going on to say something about execute and Matt Eberflus from the 229 a little earlier in the show. Can we just, in all caps, execute Eberflus?
Oh, stop that. Stop sounding like a political candidate. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're just going to talk about a coach talking about executing his players, executing plays.
He's taking that to another level.
Yeah. So there's the hits principle. That's, you know, when Matt Eberflus came in and he sounded like a high school coach, he's got his acronyms, hits principle and hustle, intensity, I don't know, technology, smart strategy, whatever. And now he is the stupid. That's what HIT stands for. He is the stupid. He showed up Wednesday, Matt Eberflus did, and he could have said, yeah, Tyreek Stevenson's benched for the game. What he did is unacceptable. It's the most important play of the year, as it turns out. It's a game. We expect you to work on game day. We expect your full attention. You were not giving it to the team. You were not giving it to us. Tyreek Stevenson should be benched. He's not going to play. Sending a message to everybody, the hits principle is real. But that's not what Matt Eberflus said. No more than he was willing to account, take the blame for any decisions he made. I'm not going to talk about Tyreek in terms of starting, not starting, all those things, he said. Okay. So there were no actions, not publicly, not actions for what happened, for what he did. And the perception was, well, this guy's toothless. Perceptions are what they are, said Eberflus. But in the building, we hold each other accountable, and in our circle and the men in the building. He showed the same marshmallow backbone Friday. Again, another chance to talk to the coach, ask about discipline for the player who flagrantly violated this precious principle he came in spouting. Eberflus said he had a good week of really good week of practice. He's done well with refocusing, and I appreciate his efforts moving into the next phase. This is what people without backbones and only a high school acronym do. I mean, if you want to see how acronyms work, see Pedro Grifol for details and see him fast. It's laughed at, violated. There are no consequences. Everyone dies in the end. Again, see Pedro Grifol for details. And trying to keep these opinions in-house accomplishes maybe what Eberflus says, maybe what Eberflus believes is an actual goal of we're all going to be one you, kumbaya. That's our culture. Keep it in-house, in our circle. I don't know how the players have respect for this guy who comes in spouting a hits principle, and when it comes time to enact it, the players want Tyreek to play because they want to win games. That's how all of them are ultimately going to get paid. That's more critical to them than having respect for the coach. Because you heard the comments this week. They were honest. They were questioning the coach. You also heard the comments about how much they like Tyreek Stevenson. They like him more than they like the coach. They have more respect for Tyreek Stevenson and his game than the coach and his game. That's why this looks like maybe must win is a wrong phrase, must prove game for the coach and the offensive coordinator, for the players to have trust, for them to regain credibility. That's the way it looks from here. We'll take a break. Top of the hour, we'll go out to Arizona. We will scout the Cardinals for you, see what the Bears are up against. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. Listen up, this broadcast note. This afternoon, the number one ranked Oregon Ducks take on the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House. Pre-game coverage begins at 2 on The Score and the Odyssey app. It's right here, right now. Just like Saturday Suckage on the Score on the Odyssey app. And we realized as we enter, by the way, turn your clocks back an hour, fall back the way Eberflus had the Bears do on the penultimate play against the Commanders. We fall back tonight by an hour. So you could get an hour extra sleep, or you could get an extra hour. Do we add an extra hour to the pregame? Do we do that? Is that how it works around the Score? Do we do that with, because it's great. Olin, Patrick, Molly. See, that would be ideal. I know we've had some shows where like Olin couldn't make it. So it should be Molly and the Mullet. That would Patrick Manley. That's, man appreciates a good long snapper IPA and a mullet and a El Camino. Yeah. Molly and the Mullet. Sounds like a morning show name. We had a call, remember the item I mentioned about how on Urban Outfitters you can get a joint rolling machine, and they sold out as soon as they put it online a couple weeks ago. Yes, get back to the boho. And a texter, member of the Wake and Bake Club, said, why bother? Just pop a gummy, because you're just going to have trouble with the paper and all that. And the machine's always the twist of the spliff was the phrase he used, which is that's a literary name. It's the name of a memoir, the twist of the spliff. It could be a movie title, right? Anyways, that's where we did earlier. And we realize we're in the weekend of a Cardinals hosting the Bears. So we're contractually obligated, legally obligated, emotionally obligated to play this from a time when the Bears went out to the desert and played the Cardinals.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Best part of that is thanks, Coach. I mean, he whacks the microphone and all that. Yes, we're contractually obligated to play that. And because we're in November and we're approaching Thanksgiving, as I talked about earlier, Big Ed's in Waukegan. You bring them a turkey, Big Ed will smoke it. I mean, Big Ed will personally smoke it for you, which is what we're going to do. We're going to go up there Wednesday for lunch and find out about all this when we got to have it. But Big Ed will smoke it. He's got all his tags. Katie up there was saying, we've tried to help, but he refuses to let anybody in and around it. He's got his system. So we'll do that. So that it's no, because it's November and we're approaching Thanksgiving, we also are contractually, morally, and emotionally obligated to play this.
No parachutes yet.
Oh my God, they're talking!
Turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
See? And you're better for it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Theo McKee. He covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic and AZ Central. Also, the baseball news of the day, Cody Bellinger did not opt out of his $27.5 million contract for next year. He'll be back with the Cubs. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.